WNOM Update News. I'm Margaret DeMaribus, and it's 9:02. The state is responding to subsistence fishermen who are appealing their convictions of illegal fishing on the Kuskokwim River. Assistant Attorney General Laura Fox says 13 fishermen are appealing their May convictions. The state says it could argue the judge wrongly concluded the defendant's conduct was religiously based. It also could argue that a 1979 Alaska Supreme Court case cited should be modified to conform to a federal standard stated in a later U.S. Supreme Court case. The Yupik fishermen were cited last year during a Port King salmon run. During their Bethel trials, about 24 fishermen argued they have a spiritual right to fish for king salmon when restrictions are in place. Judge Bruce Ward found the state's need to restrict kings supersedes the fishermen's religious rights. Sport fishing for king salmon on the Unalakleet and Shaktulik River drainages is closed due to this year's unusually low king salmon run. The emergency closure from fishing game went into effect at midnight today. The order also prohibits the use of bait. Brendan Scanlon is the Northwest Area Management Biologist with Fishing Game. He says the closure was determined by looking at the number of salmon that escaped the fishery to spawn. According to a statement at the North River Station on the Unalakleet River, this year's run is about a sixth the size of the usual stock. Fishing Game reports that as of July 7th, only 30 king salmon had passed their counting tower. From 2008 to 2012, an average of 168 kings had passed the counting tower by that date. According to a press release, sport fishing for king salmon is also closed on the Shaktulik River because its cycle generally follows Unalakleet stocks. The Stewart Creek 2 fire is now 22% contained, but as KUAC's Emily Schwing reports, 770 firefighters and personnel aren't ready to let down their guard yet. Spokesman Richard Hadley says an evacuation watch for the communities of Two Rivers and Pleasant Valley is still in place. Hadley says officials aren't yet ready to change their fire management strategy to battle the more than 84,000-acre blaze. Hadley says crews are continuing to build a fire line and mop up where they can before warmer, drier conditions move in. According to the National Weather Service, temperatures in the central interior could climb into the lower 80s by Saturday. And the Army says Fort Wainwright Garrison Commander Colonel Ron Johnson might have been overstating it when he told residents of Pleasant Valley and Two Rivers last Saturday night that artillery training exercises had started the Stewart Creek 2 wildfire. APRN's Lori Townsend reports all questions are now being referred to Major Alan Brown in Anchorage.
Right now, our position is that we can't make an official determination on exactly what caused it. Are there indications that this fire was directly related to our artillery training in mid-June? Yes, there are. And that's something that we're going to take a close look at when we're able to do a very thorough review of all the information and so forth surrounding the fire.
Brown says their main priority now is getting the fire under control and making sure the citizens of the borough of Fairbanks are safe and can return home. He couldn't say if the Department of Defense would help pay for the fire fighting, but he says if citizens feel they've been harmed, there is a process. Major Brown says the Army will not release their fire mitigation plan that was developed before the artillery testing began because the fire is under investigation. The National Transportation Safety Board on Wednesday said it's looking into a stall as the possible cause of Sunday's fatal plane crash in Soldotna. NTSB board member Earl Wainer says a preliminary report will be issued in about a week. The full report will likely take a year before it's concluded. KSKA's Ellen Lockyer reports the plane crashed on takeoff Sunday morning just off the Soldotna runway, killing all 10 people on board. Wainer says investigators are looking at a wide range of concerns. He says investigators are trying to determine the position of the controls at the time of impact. They do not believe wind shear was a problem. The aircraft was in a stall position with the right wing and nose down. The plane's condition was known to be excellent. Investigators are gathering information on what the plane's activities had been during the 72 hours prior to Sunday's crash. An organizer of the effort to repeal a tax cut for oil companies says he expects his group will collect enough signatures before Saturday's deadline to put a referendum before voters. Pat Lavin estimates the Vote Yes, Repeal the Giveaway campaign has collected 35,000 signatures and will get more. The referendum effort needs 30,169 signatures from registered Alaska voters to put the measure on the ballot. Supporters want extra signatures in case people signed twice or were unqualified. Supporters want to repeal Senate Bill 21. Governor Sean Parnell called it the More Alaska Production Act and says it will encourage exploration and investment. Critics say it's a giveaway to oil companies who have given no guarantee that they will invest in Alaska fields. 28 students from throughout the state will be graduating this afternoon from the Rural Alaska Honors Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This graduation marks 31 years of Rawhide. The traditional Rawhide program was started in 1983 by the Alaska Federation of Natives and the University of Alaska. The six-week summer institute focuses on introducing students to college life and preparing them for further study after high school. It's open to Alaska Native and rural high school juniors or seniors. Denise Wartes manages the Rawhide program.
This is a very rigorous academic program. They hit the ground running. They are in class from 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, and they have class every day, Monday through Friday. They have mandatory study halls Sunday through Thursday, so 5 days a week they're in study hall. We have weekend activities that are a combination of a lot of volunteer activities.
Wartes, it says Rawhide is competitive. Students must have a 3.0 cumulative GPA to even apply. But if accepted, there is no cost to students, and they can earn 7 to 10 college credits during their time in the program. This year, many graduates are from Western Alaska, including from Nome, White Mountain, Unalakleet, Kotzebue, and St. Mary's. 23 will be graduating from the traditional Rawhide program, while 5 students will be graduating from Rawhide Research, which focuses on the study of genetics and other research disciplines. In addition to these programs, 7 students will be staying to participate in an archaeological dig at a lake outside Fairbanks. Wartes says she's looking forward to graduation today.
I love to hear the stories the students tell of their, I was really worried when I first got here, and now I don't want to leave. I didn't think I could do it. I was going to be homesick. Or I got a way better grade than I thought I would do. There's just so many great things.
Rawhide students will be graduating at 1 o'clock this afternoon at the UAF main campus. The graduation ceremony can also be viewed live online. And for your gold prices at this hour, gold is up $19.40 an ounce to $1,283.30. Silver is up 53 cents an ounce to $20.10. Zinc is at 84 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 arrived at 8:50 and is expected to depart at 9:40. It is unofficially 48 degrees outside the K&OM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.